You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, sponsored by flowmax.ie and bar1racing.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favourite podcast outlets. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We're sponsored by flowmax.ie and we're sponsored by bar1racing.com, our new partners here at Between the Stripes LOI podcast. A little bit on that later on. But delighted again to be joined by John Breyer all the way from Longford. John, how are you keeping?
Good evening, Kieran. Seems a little strange not sat next to you in our studio recording it, but thanks to the wonders of modern technology, we're able to talk here online.
Yeah, I suppose it's better than nothing, John, isn't it? People really missed us, it seems, when we were away. So we might as well get some type of podcast together and hopefully people are going to enjoy it no matter what studio we're recording in. I suppose on that, just a massive thank you to everyone that tuned in for our returning show last week. Over 1,000 listeners. Great feedback from everyone, so a massive thank you to everyone that got involved there. I suppose, John, we'll start the show by speaking to Alan Cawley. He was a regular last season, you'll remember, and I think no better time than now to speak to Alan and get his thoughts on the upcoming season. Okay, so we made our return last week, and a very regular contributor to the podcast in recent seasons has been Alan Cawley, and I'm delighted to say he's back once again for tonight's Premier Division preview show. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a million, Kieran. It's good to be back and have yourselves back also. So, how are you?
Ah, great stuff. Thanks very much, Alan. Great to have you on. Looking forward to the start of the season.
Yeah, like everyone, Kieran, yeah, the anticipation is building now and really looking forward to the season. We all miss it so much when it's not around, so it hasn't been the longest close season in the world, but it has felt as though it's kind of dragged out a little bit. So we're just itching to get going now. And obviously the game's kicking off Friday, the big game on Saturday in Daly Mount as well. So itching to get it back, all right.
Yeah, we'll probably open with that one in a minute, the Dublin Derby at the weekend. But as you said, for some people, the off-season, it didn't feel too bad. But obviously this is a Premier Division preview show tonight, but I think we have to mention the ongoing situation with the First Division. It's been a very long off-season for First Division clubs. We're 10 days away from the start of the season as we speak at the moment, and still First Division fans, players, managers, coaches, they don't know where they're going next weekend in terms of fixtures. What do you make of what's happening?
Yeah, it's totally unacceptable, and it's a bit shambolic, the situation at the moment, Kieran, as others have outlined as well. And I feel sorry for the clubs involved because, as you says, you're only 10 days, 2 weeks out from the season now, and to not know exactly, I suppose, never mind not knowing the fixtures, but also not knowing what format it's going to take shape in, whether it's going to be the 11 teams if Limerick get the licence, or if it's going to be the 10 teams which they originally came out with the fixture list for. So it's a bit disrespectful to everybody involved as well. And the First Division has got a rough time of it over the years. I've always advocated for trying to help the First Division clubs as much as possible. I remember even writing columns going back 4 or 5 years ago saying that we should try and include the First Division clubs in as much of the game as possible, and obviously the promotion and the marketing side of it as well. And I feel sorry for some of the clubs that are constantly fighting fires. It's hard enough in the Premier Division, but I can only imagine how hard it is for some of the First Division clubs. And this situation certainly doesn't help. And I suppose the uncertainty around it as well, in terms of managers trying to assemble squads and budgets and all sorts, and not knowing exactly the makeup of the league, it's pretty pathetic, to be honest with you, Kieran.
Yeah, and I'm sure myself and John will be discussing it over the next week or so. But look, we'll start with a positive if we can. Bows and Rovers sold out for weeks now. Great way to start the league. It's going to be televised. Something unusual, I suppose, Saturday kickoff due to reasons out of control of the clubs. But yeah, what a great way to start the league.
Yeah, absolutely. This fixture has really taken fire, I suppose, Kieran, in the last 2 or 3 seasons, largely down to the fact the Bohemians resurgence and have done so well, and it helps when you have the two clubs at the top of the table fighting it out. And the games have been so competitive, and as we all know, Bohemians have had the edge over them for so many games, but obviously Shamrock Rovers addressed that towards the end of last season, winning the league game and then beating them in the Big Cup semi-final as well. So a mouth-watering tie ahead of us on Saturday. I can understand why it was changed. I would probably still prefer to see it under lights, and I don't understand. Well, I do understand why it was changed in terms of the security side of things, but I still think we should be able to cater for 3,000 or 4,000 fans at a football match. Mm. When you see security all over the world catering for 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 fans. But the fact that it's on the Saturday and live on telly, I think that'll add a bigger audience, obviously the viewing figures on television as well, and it gets all the fans of League of Ireland who will be obviously out watching their own teams on Friday night, gives them the opportunity to watch the match as well Saturday, because it's been a brilliant fixture, and I know we've hyped it up a lot in the last two or three seasons also, but I think it's lived up to the hype. Every fixture, they've been absolutely brilliant. I was at every single game between both clubs last year, loved it, loved all the games. As I say, Bohemians have had the edge in a lot of those games, as we all know, brilliant record against them, but Shamrock Rovers did address it towards the end. Shamrock Rovers will be looking to get off to a big start, obviously, in the league, because what caught them out last year, Ciarán, is the head-to-head games against Dundalk and Bohemians, their nearest rivals. Yeah. And if you go through the eight games that they played against both of those clubs, they lost six, only 1-1 beating Bohemians and drawn with Dundalk. 4 points out of a possible 24. It's just not good enough to win your league. And that's something that they will definitely have to address this year if they're going to be overtaking Dundalk.
Look, it doesn't take an expert like yourself to tell us that obviously Shamrock Rovers are going to have title ambitions this season. But what about Bohemians? Qualified for Europe for the first time in a very, very long time last season. That's going to be a great boost for them, both financially and just for the prestige of the club as well. Some interesting signings. Obviously, they've lost Dara Leahy, which is a big blow, but they've brought in some interesting players. Anto Breslin is one we know very well from Longford. Chris Twardek is a player that always stood out for Sligo. What's the goal for Bohs this season? Is it just to consolidate a place in the top four, or can they push for higher?
Yeah, it's going to take, it's 26 points between them and Dundalk at the end of last season and 15 points behind Shamrock Rovers. So it's going to take a hell of a lot, not just from Bohemians, but from any club, Ciarán, to try and break up those two. And I can't see it happening. I still think it's going to be those two. But certainly from Bohemians' point of view, and Keith Long, as we've all said all along the last 3 or 4 years, if he was to keep them in the top four and sustain that position, and obviously to have European football to come and qualify for Europe again next year, I'm sure Keith would snap your hand off right now. For, of course, they'll have their own targets and goals in-house, but deep down, I think Keith will be delighted with that, because there has been a couple of comings and goings. Dara Lee is a massive loss. I'm a big fan of Dara. I think it's a great signing for Dundalk. I feel as though he could still go across the water as well, and obviously he's playing with the 21s with Stephen Kenny too, which will only help himself. They've lost their talisman and Derek Pender as well. Obviously, Derek's been a brilliant servant and a massive figure in the dressing room, but I think Keith has shopped well. Glenn McCauley coming in from Pats, I think, is a decent signing, because obviously when they lost Dinny last year, they struggled to replace Dinny's goals, even though still maintain the position. But I think Glenn coming in as offering backup to Dinny as well, I think, is a good signing. Twardek, as you mentioned, done okay for Sligo. Ciarán Kelly is a big one coming in from St. Pat's. I felt he done quite well at St. Pat's, and I'm surprised that they let him go at the end of the season, but I think he's a good signing for Bohs. And Dan Casey coming back too, and there's a young lad on loan from Wolves, Callum Thompson. There's a lot of excitement about him also, and Keith does well with picking up young lads coming back from England like that, and obviously trying to revive them, as we've seen with Mandriau and a couple of others. So I still expect them to go well. I think they've set standards for themselves in that club the last 2 or 3 years, and they'll be certainly looking to maintain that, and I would expect them to be in the top four again this year, Ciarán.
Yeah, I'm glad you've mentioned Ciarán Kelly there. Obviously, I've seen a lot of him in the first division with Drogheda a couple of seasons ago. He really, really stood out. And I was really excited when he signed for St. Pat's. I thought he'd fit in perfectly there. Probably didn't get as many opportunities as many people thought he would. So, as you said, he looks a good signing for Bohs. But do I get a sense from you there, Alan, you're maybe expecting this to be a two-horse race this season between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah, absolutely, Ciarán. Yeah, these two clubs have set the standard in the last couple of seasons. Obviously, Shamrock Rovers overtaking Cork and Clon into some sort of, I suppose, the deficit with Dundalk. It finished at 11 points last year. I still think it probably would have been 16-17, but just the fact that Dundalk had the league wrapped up with 4 or 5 games to go. But I do fully expect Shamrock Rovers to put up a serious title challenge this year, and I think they need to now, because they have the squad assembled. Stephen Bradley is in the job 3 years. I think the winning the cup was absolutely massive for them as well, and deservedly so. I felt they were the better team on the day, so that'll give them huge confidence. They already have an assembled squad, as I say, so they've only had to add one or two, and obviously Liam Scales is a big sign, and I think Liam's a good player. Also one to watch out for as well, I know Reece Marshall has come in and he's well regarded from Glenavon, but I think Neil Ferrucci will have a big season. Not much talk about him in the off season, but if you remember, he came in the mid season, Ciarán. Obviously he had a couple of injuries, so he was never really right. I think now with a good pre-season under his belt, he'll be a massive addition to that Shamrock Rovers squad as well. So I'm fully expecting them to put up a serious title challenge to Dog this year.
Yeah, good shout on Ferrucci there. I think Gary O'Neill will have a big season as well. Are they still lacking a striker though, Alan, or can Green be the man? Or not a lot of talk about Dean Williams. We discussed him on the show last week. Does he deserve a crack at being the top man for Rovers this year?
Yeah, like that was the argument, and that was something that I through at Shamrock Rovers last year, as did a lot of people in terms of the centre forward. But I think, to be fair, Darren Green, I don't think he's going to be that 20 goal a season man, as we've all said, but I think he offers an awful lot. And if you go back to that cup final, he was absolutely brilliant on the day in terms of, I suppose, starting that high press from the centre forward position, and the work rate that he does off the ball and occupying defenders and creating space then for others to play. And Stephen has all those midfielders at his disposal, and that's what he likes to go with, and to play obviously a very attacking brand of football. I think Burke as well added another dimension to them when he came in the middle of last season, so you'll expect a big season for him this year. So I suppose the argument Stephen Bradley will tell you, he feels as though he has enough in that team to get enough goals for him to win the league. You could argue, do they need the centre forward? I thought they might have gone out and got another one this year, but obviously he feels they're strong enough. So it remains to be seen as the season progresses. But when you compare the likes of Hoban and Georgie Kelly as the two centre forwards for Dundalk, I still feel as though Shamrock Rovers could probably do with another one. And that's no disrespect to young Dean Williams. I know you spoke highly of him on the show last week as well, but I just think they need another maybe season campaigner just to back up Green.
Yeah, obviously we have John Gill on the show tonight, so I'm not going to ask you for too much chat on Dundalk, but can I get? I'm going to push you for an answer. Where do you think the title's going, Shamrock Rovers or Dundalk?
Yeah, I fancy Dundalk to win the league again this year. Obviously, something similar to Shamrock Rovers, the squads, I suppose that's the beauty of those two or three clubs the last few years, is that they've been able to offer long-term contracts. So the squad is basically assembled. You only need to bring in one or two and let one or two go, and that's obviously what Dundalk have done. I think Jamie McGrath will be a loss. I'm a big fan of Jamie. Not sure about the move to St Mirren. Robbie Benson is another one who's obviously a very good player. But I think they've shopped well. Obviously, bringing in Sloggett, I think, is a big signing. He'll have a big season with Dundalk, added to the quality that's already there. I already mentioned Dar Lee, I'm a big fan of. So a couple of the unknowns as well, Cammy Smith, and obviously the Serbian lad coming in, Kolovic as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they play out, but I do fancy Dundalk still, but I do expect Shamrock Rovers to put up a serious title challenge this year.
Yeah, and again, we have Declan Devine on the show again tonight, so again, I won't ask you for too much on Derry, but is it fair to say maybe we're looking at Bowes, Derry and Pats as being the best of the rest and pushing for Europe and maybe hoping to try and bridge the gap at the same time?
Yeah, I just think with Derry, and I think with a lot of the other clubs, bar the top two, I think it's wide open from third down, and I include Bohemians in that. So you have Bohemians, Derry, Pats, Waterford, Sligo. I think it's wide open for all them to be vying for those third and fourth place positions. I don't think there's much between any of those teams. And you look at Derry this year, I think Declan done a brilliant job last year, and getting to Europe was massive for them. But he's after losing half of his goals in Parkhouse and Junior, and that's going to be massive because they were so good last year. Barry Mac. To me as well as a big loss. So there's three massive players from last year's squad that have gone that he has to replace. He's obviously brought in McCormick, he's brought in Conor Clifford, who both are aware of the league. Figueroa done okay for Waterford, I felt, towards the latter part of the season, and it'll be interesting to see how this lad Tim Nielsen does. I know he had a good goal scoring record at Fredrikstad. I think he got 32 goals in 53 games with them, so it remains to be seen how he does. But I think it's an awful lot of goals to try and replace between Parkhouse and Junior last year, so I give Pats and Waterford a chance of maybe finishing in that top four as well.
Yeah, we'll go down to the bottom end, I suppose. Naturally, they're always going to look at a club like Finn Harps up against the better resource clubs and imagine that they're going to struggle. But you've mentioned it yourself there, Barry McNamee, a big name signing, and there could be more to come from what I hear from Harps. So where do you see the relegation battle shaping up? You haven't mentioned Cork yet. Could they be down the bottom end as well?
Yeah, I definitely think Cork will have a tough year ahead of them, and obviously I'm friends with Neil Fenn and I'd like to see him do well, but I don't think he realised just how big of a job that he has on his hands down there, because he's certainly not taking over the Cork City that John Caulfield had for the 3 or 4 years going toe-to-toe with Dundalk. And you only have to look at, I suppose, the players that he brought in the off-season, the market that they're shopping in now, Keane Coleman, Dylan McLeod, Corey Galvin, Connor Davis. That's the market they're in now, and I think the Cork City fans have to be realistic as well. I think if Neil is to finish seventh or eighth, I think that's probably the best they can hope for. Now, obviously, he'll be feeling as though they can go higher, but they were the third lowest scorers in the league last year as well, with only 29 goals. I'm not so sure where the goals are going to come from. Obviously, he's brought in a couple of unknown lads as well, Joe Redmond, Rayon Dillon, Henry Ochiang. We're not sure how they're going to pan out, but they have a very tough start as well. Shelburne at home, then they have Shamrock Rovers away, Dundalk away. Like, if they're to get off to a bad start, as you know, momentum is massive as well in sport, and it could be a very, very tough year for Cork City.
Yeah, I think that was the point I made on last week's show. Obviously, I've seen Cork this weekend against Longford, and you can already see Neil Fenn's imprint on that team. They do play some good passing football, and Rion Dillon did catch the eye for me, a big, powerful centre-forward. He looks like he could be a good addition to the league. But as you mentioned there, it's a very young side, and if they do get off to a slow start, it'll be interesting to see how they cope with that.
Yeah, and I think as well, John, or I think Ciarán as well, just to point out, out of their home form as well, well, like when you think under John Caulfield how tough Turner's Cross was to go, and it was almost like a fortress. Last year, out of the 18 games they played at home, they only won 4. So they'll need to address that and try and make Turner's Cross back into some sort of a difficult place to go, because that, like, winning 4 games out of 18 at home certainly won't have you anywhere near the top end of the table.
Yeah, Alan, you've been very good with your time, so give us your final predictions before you go. You've already called Dundalk for the title. Give us your European places and who you think might be relegated, and I'd like to get a top score from you as well.
The European places, I'm going to go for Bohemians again, as I said, and I think Pats, I'm expecting big things from St. Pats under Stephen O'Donnell. Big fan of Stephen. Obviously, I would have played against him a lot. Very good player, as we know. But I think going into his managerial career as well, I'm expecting big things from him, not putting too much pressure on him, but I think he'll do very well, and I hope he does very well. He's obviously shaking the squad up there a lot at St. Pat's, some good signings as well. McClelland, I know you like, you mentioned him on the show last week. Robbie Benson as well. Shane Griffin, I think, is a very good player. Rory Feely, Luke McNally. So I hope Pat's do quite well, and I think they've a great opportunity getting into that top four. I suppose for the relegation, even though Finn Harps have done some good shopping, I still think they'll be down there. It's hard to name one. I think actually in the relegation this year, and normally, Ciarán, I would name one, but I think it's between 4 clubs with Finn Harps, Shelburne, who I watched Friday night. I think if AMRS is just to establish Shelburne in the Premier Division, he'll be delighted with that this year. But I think it's between Finn Harps, Shelburne, Sligo and Cork City this year for the relegation. I think those 4 clubs will be battling it out.
Well, Alan, it's very rare that I agree on almost everything you said, but that's the case tonight. I think.
What do you mean it's very rare?
I think I agree with almost everything you've said there. So that's where we'll leave it. We'll leave it on a positive note. Alan, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again during the season.
Pleasure, Ciarán. Thank you.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by BarwinRacing.com. Check out our website for weekly League of Ireland previews, enhanced offers and double the odds first goal score matches, among other incentives, with a €30 free bet available to new customers. T's and C's apply. Barwon Racing, nobody does League of Ireland better.
Okay, John, great to hear from Alan Cawley there. Let's start by looking at the opening weekend of the season, and we'll start with the big one, the Dublin Derby. Bows against Shamrock Rovers, of course. Bohemians had a massive hoodoo over Shamrock Rovers for a long time in recent seasons, but Shamrock Rovers, they bucked that trend towards the end of the campaign with that Cup semi-final win.
Yeah, there's been some iconic fixtures between these two, hasn't there? I remember Keith Ward with a flag and lots of scenes, but we'll start with Bowes, and they're looking really to consolidate on last season, Ciarán, and they've made some astute signings. First Division standout left-back Anto Breslin's joined them with the likes of JJ Lunny, Glenn McCauley and Chris Twardek, who we were impressed with last season at Sligo. So, all eyes seem pointing towards a decent season again for Bowes. Rovers, they've kept the stability, which I like. They've been looking to go one better than last season, where they finished runners-up to Dundalk. But we know that's no easy matter, trying to beat them. But definitely a top-two finish again shouldn't be an issue for Rovers, as far as I'm concerned. Good signings with the likes of Liam Scales. But to me, they're still missing a striker, Ciarán. The Cummins and Voic are no longer there. So there's going to be a lot of reliance on not just Aaron Green, but the likes of the re-signed Jack Byrne, who's also critical to Rovers. So I think they'll still be looking for a striker, but this one, it's a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the prices came out today on bar1racing.com for the top goal scorers in the Premier Division this season. Aaron Green is in there. I think he's trading in about 11, 12 to 1. A lot of people don't think he can be a 20-goal man. What's your thoughts on Aaron Green?
Yeah, I just think he misses too many chances, Ciarán. He's never going to be an out-and-out number nine, like a Pat Hooban type. And I just think if Rovers are to go one better than last season, I think they needed an upgrade there. And they needed to get somebody in now, whether or not you're looking abroad in England or Scotland for another striker. But I think they needed to go and get another striker. Cummings' voice didn't quite work out last season, but I still think it's their weak spot. And Aaron Green is decent, but I don't think he's decent enough for Rovers. I think Rovers really need a top quality striker to make the difference to that team.
I'm not sure I'd say he's not good enough for Rovers. I think he definitely has a role to play in that team, but whether, as you mentioned, he can be a Patrick Hooban type character for Shamrock Rovers, I definitely would have doubts over that. But of course they have Graham Burke this season. They didn't have him there for the entirety of last year. Could he be a man that adds 10 or 15 goals to that Rovers team?
Yeah, I think the Burke's great because, I mean, they've got a lot of firepower from midfield. I think I should clarify on Aaron Green. As a number nine, as a proper centre-forward's in the team to get goals, and I don't think Green offers enough that way. I think he's great maybe with another striker or behind a striker, but as an out-and-out one-man up front, which Stephen likes to play him at, I think they just need an upgrade there. Like you say, with Graham Burke, he's going to be critical. He's going to have goals from just behind him, and the likes of Byrne and Ronan Finn. There is goals in there, but I think to complete that team, they needed a different striker.
Yeah, I think we have very similar views on Aaron Green, but from a Shamrock Rovers point of view, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit here. He was only, I think, three goals behind Pat Hoban last season in terms of the Premier Division goals. So are you being a little harsh, perhaps?
Maybe a little, but at the end of the day, your main striker needs to score plenty of goals. And if you want to be winning the league, you need a striker that's top in the goal charts, Kieran.
Yeah, so what's your thoughts on this opening game? What way is it going to go?
Well, it's a tricky one, but I just think with Rovers' stability, I think they'll edge this one. They've a team that's going to be lining up very similar to how it did last season. The players know each other well. Bose could take a little while for the likes of those new signings to settle in, so I think Rovers will edge this one.
Yeah, I think this could be a very tight opening weekend across the board. I'm going to go with the draw on this one. While we're on the subject of goal scorers, Dinny Corcoran back fit and hopefully firing for Buzz. Could he feature high up in terms of challenging the likes of Hoban this year for the Golden Boot?
I think I've seen him at the odds there, a second favourite for top goal scorer. I think it's a little bit short for him, but... you know, if he gets a good supply and the likes of Twardek pinging crosses in like he was doing last season, then he could have a very good season.
Okay, so we'll start off our predictions here. As mentioned, bar1racing.com have very kindly come on board as sponsors this season. They're going to give us a €10 charity bet each and every week, and any profits we make for that, we're going to put it to good causes and to charities. This week, if we make any profits from our charity bet, we've decided we're going to give Cove Ramblers a handout. I'm sure you might have seen on social media their ground, St. Coleman's Park, suffering substantial damage during Storm Ciara. So we're going to try and give them a hand in that regard. Our opening predictions, though, I'm going for a draw here, and John Breyer going for a Shamrock Rovers win. Let's move on to Harps against Sligo. It's a local derby. John, could these be two sides battling it out towards the bottom?
Could be. I'm being honest with you. I'm very worried for Sligo. I said that last week. Bit of a blow for Harps in the news that Mark Timlin is likely to be out for the season. He's done his cruciate ligaments, Kieran, and that's not going to help with the fact that the bookies favour us to go down.
Yeah, but Barry McNamee coming in, John. Surely he's going to have an impact at that level.
What a star signing! I'm very, very impressed with that signing, and. Yeah, he's the real standout signing that Harps have made. Do you know? I think they'll stay up at the expense of Sligo, Kieran.
Wow, that's a big call, John. What's the issue with Sligo you feel they're in such trouble? Is it the lack of a goal scorer in their side? They've lost Romeo Parks, of course.
Yeah, well, I think we talked last week about Sligo in quite a bit of detail, and. To me, they look in trouble because the core of the team's gone there, Kieran. You know, they're missing Lev Rock, who we spoke about last week, he signed for a Polish lower league club. He was, you know, he, a bit of a figure of fun at the start of the season, but he really bedded in, didn't he, as the season went on. And same with Parks, he was always capable of, you know, missing the proverbial barn door special. But, you know, he was... you know, again, somebody that settled in, and it's often a shame with these foreign signs. They tend to stay a season and then they're away, you know, just when they're settling in. And of course, the big miss will be Chris Twardek as well. So that's really quite a lot of the spine of the side you've taken out there from Sligo. So to me, I think a season of troubles ahead.
Yeah, and going back to Finn Harps, we mentioned McNamee coming in there, but we haven't really seen the best of him in the last couple of seasons, have we?
No, I think he's had a bit of a struggle, all right. But you still think he's gonna raise the quality of that team, Kieran. They're gonna miss some players like we talked about young Daniel O'Reilly and Keith Cowan. That's a couple of good chunks out of the defence there. You know, they would have been first team starters last season, so there's a bit of rebuilding there. I just think that signing of McNamee will be a massive boost, and it's a huge coup for Ollie Hogan to have got him.
Yeah, and one that's perhaps gone under the radar, Shane McElhenney arriving from Laren. Of course, Derry City fans are very familiar with him. He's a very, very talented player. Carlo Sullivan, good young player coming in from Limerick. And your mate, Kosovo Siddiqui, he's not a goalkeeper, John, as we found out. He is a centre-half, and been looking up a bit of info about him. Looks an interesting signing.
Yeah, well, I wasn't far off with a centre-half goalkeeper. They're playing the same half of the pitch, Kieran, so I think you'll have to let me off that one. Yeah, like I say, I don't know too much about him, but they need a replacement for Cowan, and he's obviously the man.
So, opening weekend, Harps Sligo, where are we going with this one?
I'm going to go for a home win, Kieran.
Okay, and I'm going to go for a draw there. So, a bit of a trend developing here already, John.
Yeah, you're a draw specialist, Kieran.
Let's move on to Pats against Waterford. This is going to have a bit of a subplot to it, obviously, with everything that happened around Europe last season. How do we see this opening game turning out? And spoke to Alan Cawley. You've obviously heard that interview. He thinks Waterford could be involved in a battle for Europe this term.
Well, let's start with Waterford. And they've made huge changes. You know, they're probably alongside Cork as a team that have completely... change almost their entire team, Kieran, and I'd be interested to see how they set up, because they've made some good signings as far as I'm concerned. They're like Sam Bone, Allardyce, Kevin O'Connor, Michael O'Connor, you know, I mean, he's got a few goals in him, and Graham Cummins, who we know had a bit of struggle last season, and there'll be quite a lot of pressure from him to deliver the goals. So it's a real mixed bag for Waterford. So I don't know about challenging for Europe, but there certainly is the backbone of what could be quite a decent team.
Yeah, you seem happy enough with their incomings, but do the outgoings outweigh it? You've lost Rory Feely, you've lost Zach Elbouzedi, you've lost Corey Galvin, who was a bit of a creative spark in that team as well.
Yeah, the two I've got down here is Zach Elbouzedi, yeah, because he's such a promising talent, Kieran, and yes, they will miss him, and I think he'll go on and have a very decent career in England. He's a tricky player. He's got goals in him, and he will be a big miss, all right, for Waterford. And you know, he could go on and play at a very decent level. And Rory Feely, quality player, and they'll miss him as well. But like I say, some very, very good signings. It all depends, I think, how quickly they settle. I think there'll be a lot of pressure on Graham Cummins to get a few goals this season.
Let's move to St. Pat's. I think most listeners would be aware now that I feel quite optimistic and excited by what Stephen O'Donnell's done. He clearly came in towards the end of last season. He saw the players he didn't need. He's got rid of them. Some of them you could argue that maybe he should have kept. I think Conor Clifford's experience could be crucial in midfield. I like the looks of Keane Coleman, even though he didn't really deliver at St. Pat's. And Reese McCabe was an important player in that team as well. But looking at the incomings, Jason McKellen, the player I really like from UCD. Conor Curran's a good young goalkeeper. We've mentioned Rory Feely. You've got Robbie Benson there. He's been there, done that. And you've got Shane Griffin as well, another good attacking fullback. What do you make of the business done overall?
Yeah, Kieran, there's some good signings there. Some, I would say, very shrewd signings. You know, we know what we've talked about Rory Feely. We know what he brings. And if he can get the best out of Robbie Benson, he could have one of the best box-to-box midfielders in the league. We know if he gets the Robbie Benson that was scoring goals in Europe, then he'll be laughing. And for me as well, I'm interested to see how the two ex-UCD players settle, McClelland and Connor Cairns. They could be... they could be very, very astute signings. And you'd fancy... I know we talked a lot about Pats last season and European places, and I think we tipped him as an outsider for the league. Yeah. But you think they'd be up... You think, you know, with those kind of signings, they'd want to be up there again this season.
Yeah, and of course, Chris Forrester's still there. We'd love to see a bit more from him this term. A couple of players coming in from England as well. Dan Ward, Billy King, Martin Rennie from Montrose. Will there be enough goals in this Pats team, or will we just have to wait and see how those players settle?
I think you mentioned the key player there, Chris Forrester, and we certainly didn't see the best of him last season. I think if he gets a good pre-season in, and you know, hopefully we'll see the Forrester that we saw before he went over to England.
Right, let's get a call, John. Pats Waterford, what way are you going?
Tricky on this one. I think Pats might edge it though. Home win.
Yeah, home win for me as well. Let's move on to Cork against Shells. So, John, thoughts on Cork against Shells?
Well, Kieran, Cork have done pretty well pre-season. You saw them against Longford, a decent win against us. But I think all eyes will be on Neil Fenn, and he needs to have a decent start to the season because things didn't go particularly well last season. He had a big run of defeats and a couple of decent performances to the end of the last season. And there's been a massive amount of ins and out at Cork. And it's going to take them some time to settle. So I think they could well start with some very indifferent results. I think there'll be a lot of inconsistency. Last week I talked about the likes of Charlie Fleming, Dylan McGlade, Connor Davis. They're decent signings, but to me, are they the signings of a team pushing for Europe? I mean, they've signed quite a lot of players from lower league in England, tier 6, tier 7. So for me, it'll be interesting to see how those players get on. It almost screams that it's a much smaller budget at Cork this season.
Yeah, I don't think there's any talk of pushing for Europe this season. I think, as Alan Cawley said a little bit earlier on, Cork will be happy with probably 6th, 7th, 8th position in the table this season. As you mentioned, I seen them at the weekend against Longford. You can definitely see what Neil Fenn is trying to do with that team. They have a bit of a passing rhythm, but I would have some defensive concerns about them. I'd have concerns about some of the players, whether they're willing to track back and whether they're going to roll their sleeves up in a relegation dogfight. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get on. What about Shells? They're coming up from the first division, John. Ian Morris, he's been rewarded for getting them promoted with a new one-year deal. Can he be the man to keep them up? Or should they have bigger goals than that? Could they push for a top-half finish?
I'm sure they'll be absolutely delighted with mid-table this season, a season of consolidation. I have to say, I've been very impressed with the signings. Starting at the back, Jack Brady, he would be the standout first division goalkeeper last season. You know, we saw him in certain games for Limerick. He was outstanding, and we've seen him firsthand at Longford. We know how good he is. The likes of Gary Deegan, Shepherd, you've got some great experience there. And the likes of Daniel O'Reilly is solid. George Boynton should be a decent sign-in. And fair play to them for keeping hold of Killen Kilduff. You know, that's a very, very decent front line on paper of Shepherd and Kilduff. And they should cause that team some problems.
Yeah, well, we've agreed on most things so far, but I wouldn't be overly impressed with Shell's business. I would be impressed with Brady. I would be impressed with O'Reilly. Perhaps that's just because they're players that, as you said there, we'd know from their time at Longford, and you know what you're getting with them. For me, Georgie Poynton, we spoke about him quite a bit on the podcast last year. I thought he was very poor with Waterford last season. Gary Deegan coming back from England, how fit is he going to be? We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, there's a lot of experience in that side with the likes of Kilduff, with the likes of Deegan. But I wonder, could they have just done with maybe some younger legs in that midfield? Obviously, they do have the two lads that came in from Cove last year. They're going to have their first full season. Can they adapt to the Premier Division? I just think there's a lot of questions over that Shells team and how they're going to adapt to the Premier. I think they will stay up, don't get me wrong, and I think they have goals in the team with Kilduff. But as you said, I think they'd be delighted if they can just consolidate this season.
And I found this one out of all the matches, Kieran. This is probably the hardest one to call. So I'd be interested to see how you go with this one.
No surprise here, John. I'm going for a draw.
Yeah, I'm struggling to separate them, to be honest. I don't know whether Cork will just have the edge with it being the first game of the season. I'll join you with a draw, Kieran.
Yeah, and I've had the advantage of seeing both of these teams in pre-season. And Cork at the weekend, they had a number of new players in action against Longford. And they had a player up front who really caught the eye. That was Rian Dillon. He's the player that's come in from Corinthian Casuals. You told us a bit about them last week on the show. But really big, powerful centre forward. But not only is he strong and powerful, he also seems to be a very clever player. He got an assist for the second goal. There was a ball played into the box, and he did a lovely step over to allow his teammate. I can't actually remember who scored the second, but it was a lovely bit of play from Dillon, and he really caused the Longford back four problems. So he could be a player to watch this season. So I'm impressed with that bit of business by Neil Fenn. But as you said on last week's show, they really are shopping in a different market than we're used to with Cork. So I think this opening result will tell us a lot about their where they're going to be this season.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they're going to be pushing for Europe. As you said, you know, mid-table 6th, 7th, 8th, I think is about the best they can hope for.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you said a little bit earlier on about Sligo, because we're talking about Shells coming up from the First Division. We're talking about Cork, if they're going to have a battle. You've made a really big call on tonight's show, John. You think Sligo could be in big, big trouble. You think Harps are going to have a better season than them?
Yeah, I just think they will. To me, I hate it when you see teams in a close season and they lose the core of the side. You know, they're losing their key defender, the key midfielder, the key striker. It's all gone, you know, and you can replace teams like that, but to me, it sounds like a weakened team. And, you know, Sligo, you know, they stayed up last season, but you can only see with key players taken out of that team that they're not going to improve on last season. So, to me, they're only going to go one way. So, I'm just genuinely think they're in trouble already, Kieran.
Yeah, very interesting views, John. We'll move on to the game taking place Friday night. It'll be Dundalk getting their campaign, their defence of the title underway against Derry City. As you'll hear in the interviews coming up with John Gill and Declan Devine, we kind of looked back on some fantastic meetings between these sides last season. Are we in for another cracker on Friday night, or could this be a little bit cagey given it's the opening night of the season and both teams will have big ambitions this year?
Yeah, well, they'll have different ambitions. I think Dundalk will be desperate to do a little bit better and progress further in Europe this season than they did last season. Obviously, for that you need some favourable draws, and you know they are making little bits of progress, and it is a bit of a, you know, it all depends on the draw as well in Europe, but they will desperately be looking to get through to group stages. They've done it before with the Europa League, and you know, the side that they've got now is not that different. So that's what they'll be looking for. And you know, they've made some sensible signings, but again, you're looking to the likes of their key players Duffy, Huben, to have good seasons, and you know, they'll be wanting to retain the league. And They've done nothing to me to suggest that they won't retain the league, Kieran.
Yeah, can I push you for who you think their best bit of business has been? Greg Sloggett's really caught my eye in pre-season, but Leahy, obviously everyone knows what he's done at Bowes, Irish under-21 international. Could he give Dan Massey a run for his money at left-back this year? It'd be the first time in a long time Massey's had a real challenge for that position.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I think they probably needed a little bit more competition in a few places. You know, it's if they're wanting to progress in Europe, they're going to have, you know, a couple of decent options in most positions. So Lee's a good signing and a definite competition for that starting left-back slot. Yeah, impressed with that bit of business.
As I said, we'll have interviews coming up in the next couple of minutes with John Gill and Declan Devine. But John, let's get a look at Derry City. They've made some exotic signings once again. What have you made of their transfer business?
Yeah, well, the one thing they will miss is that his junior and his goals last season, because, you know, he was fantastic, wasn't he? A steady enough start, but he really came into the fore. And I know we had him in the show. He's a great character to have around, he sounded like, didn't he? And he's gone from Colchester now to
Israel.
So,
yeah.
You know, I suppose I'd be hoping Figuera, that they're signing from Waterford, slots in place of him.
Did okay with Waterford last season, didn't he?
Sorry?
Figuera, he did okay with Waterford last season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's tough shoes to fill, isn't it? You know, when you take a player of that many goals out of a team, you know, you can strengthen all you like, but you still need somebody to put the ball in the net. And that's what they're hoping he'll do. Clifford, he should be solid. And, you know, like you said, exotic signings. We talked about Nielsen and Bakayoko. I suppose it all depends how quickly they settle in. And for that reason, I'm going to go with Dundalk on this one, because I think they're just more a settled side. And we've had a few questions about Derry. I think they'll have a decent season, but I don't think they'll have enough to challenge Dundalk on this occasion.
Yeah, this is another game I'm finding really, really hard to call. I'm just going to go with a home win for Dundalk. Obviously, their home form was absolutely phenomenal last season. As you said, Derry probably have a bit of bedding in to do for players, but Dundalk do as well. As I said, there'll be a lot of eyes on who Vinnie Perth goes with in this first game, whether it's Leahy, whether it's Massey, whether he goes with that five at the back, although I don't think he will. I think it'll be the traditional back four. A lot of question marks. I was in Dundalk today chatting to fans as well. They're very eager to see who the centre halves are going to be. Obviously, Andy Boyle came back last season, but he didn't appear to be the Andy Boyle that we all know. Brian Gartland, obviously, he's seen less game time in recent years. For me, I think Cleary and Hoare will be the starting back too. What's your thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, I would say that wouldn't surprise me, but I think Boyle will probably get the nods ahead of one of the two of them. I just think he's too big a quality, you know. But it remains to be seen. He's got a variety of riches there at centre back. But like I said about the left back position, you're going to need competition for places, especially if you're going to be challenging in Europe and in the league.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can get any clues to team selection this weekend. We're going to bring you back to back interviews now. First with John Gill, and then with the Derry City boss Declan Devine. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by Dundalk FC coach John Gill. John, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks, Kieran. Good to see us back on air. It's great to see us back. You were missed when you went last year, midway through the season.
Thanks very much, John. Appreciate that. Look, I've seen plenty of Dundalk in pre-season, and obviously I spoke to Vinnie there after the Longford game last week. I think it's clear you've definitely put the players through their paces. You must be overall quite happy with how pre-season has gone.
It's gone really, really well, Kieran. The players are in a great place physically and mentally. You know, we've tried to step it up another level, and that comes from Vinnie, in fairness to him. And you know, his demands have been, you know, really, really asked questions of the players and the staff. And I think we've, you know, everybody's answered those questions.
Yeah, and a few new additions as well. I suppose the one a lot of people are going to ask you about is Kolovic coming in from the Serbian Premier Division. How long have you been looking at him, and what type of player can we expect when he eventually does get all of his paperwork and everything sorted out?
Listen, there's no doubt he's a quality player. We've been looking at him a while, obviously. You know, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he's played at a very high level. He's quality. He's the kind of player fits the DNA of what Dundalk is about. So, you know, it'll be a welcomed addition. It's something new. He'll bring something fresh, and we're all looking forward to really working with him.
Yeah, I suppose after your European campaign last season, one of the big talking points was the fact that Dundalk came up against squads that were full of foreign players, and that's something we don't really have to a great extent in the League of Ireland. Obviously, you've brought him in looking for him to make an impact here in the League of Ireland, but is there an eye to Europe as well with signings like that? And if he does well, can we expect to see maybe Dundalk shopping in that type of market more often where possible?
Well, we looked at different markets. In fairness, Kira, it's very, very hard to improve that Dundalk squad, and that's not being disrespectful to any other squad in the league, but we have got a fantastic squad of players, as has been proven the last 6-7 years. So to break into that squad, you've got to, you know, you've really got to have some really good qualities about you. So it's not only Stefan who's come in, but like the other guys that we've signed, Cammy Smith, you know, Will Patching, you know, these guys are you know, Darlie, Greg Slugger, these are quality players who fit the DNA that we're looking for to push us on and help us push on, hopefully to the next level.
Yeah, and I suppose when you're at a club like Dundalk, there is so much scrutiny, and pre-season results at other clubs mightn't really be looked at, but anytime Dundalk are in action, everyone's looking to see what's different and what's happening. And obviously a big focus this pre-season was the fact that you played five at the back quite a bit in pre-season. Do you feel that was a worthwhile experiment?
Absolutely. We've actually come up against that system quite a lot last year, and it's a system we want to have a look at. We want to try and, you know, make sure that we've got a couple of strings to our bow. It's a system that we think we've got the players to play it and who are comfortable playing it. So that's not to say that we'll play it each week. We'll assess every game and its merits. Vinny and Rory Higgins, you know, very astute guys. I think we've enough brain power in there to have a look at it, take each game and its merits and pick a team accordingly.
Yeah, and obviously disappointing at the weekend that the President's Cup game was called off. A lot of people would have been looking to see what both sides, what way you might have shaped up. I'd imagine you were disappointed not to get that run out in the legs before the game on Friday now against Derry.
Yeah, listen, it was disappointing, but I think, you know, under the circumstances, the weather, it would have been a bit of a debacle. We saw other games that went and other codes, and it was a little bit of a fiasco. You know, like you don't want the game spoiled. Totally dictated to by the weather. It's, you know, it's disappointing that it would have been another high quality game for us to, you know, to hone the pre-season work that we've done. But we put that to bed. We worked very hard yesterday, today. We're fully focused on this Friday. It was all about this game on Friday, actually, the Derry City game. So that's what we'll hone in on. We feel we're in a really, really good place.
Yeah, and far from an easy opener, Derry City coming down to Oriel Park on Friday. It's not going to be easy, John, is it?
No, it's going to be a very difficult game. Every game we played them in last year was really, really competitive, and they were, you know, one of the teams that caused us a few problems last year. They were very well set up. They played with a lot of passion. Played, you know, they reinvigorated the Brandywell, and that's down to Declan and the staff. So we know we're in for a, you know, really tough game on Friday, as all games are in this league. It's all teams are really recruited really well. A lot of teams have kind of freshened things up a little bit. There's a newness about a lot of the squads. So there are no easy games in this league, Kieran, as you know, and we know that ourselves, and we treat everybody with the same respect that we would expect to be treated ourselves. So we're going into the game in good fettle, but we know we're in for a hell of a battle.
Yeah, and obviously, as you mentioned, there was some cracking meetings between Dundalk and Derry City last year. There was that FAI Cup game, and obviously there was the League Cup final as well. So two teams that know each other quite well, but new players on both sides. So it should be an exciting occasion nonetheless.
It will be. Two teams that try and play the game the right way. Derry have made some fantastic signings. I know that a lot of focus has been on who they've lost, but they've brought in a lot of quality, a lot of experience. So we know it's going to be a very difficult game. They qualified for Europe last year. They had a great season. They want to build on that. So we're fully aware of that. But we know that, like, if we can just concentrate ourselves, which we tend to do, we don't tend to look at too many teams outside of our sphere. We concentrate ourselves, our own preparation, and if we prepare as we have done, prepare properly, we know that we're more than a match for anybody in this league.
Yeah, and obviously you're talking about Derry there and how they might try and build from last season. For Dundalk, so close to that historic treble last season, how do you bounce on again this year and try and build on that?
Just try and focus on ourselves, try and emulate and probably try to improve on certain areas that we felt we could improve on last year. We're always looking to improve. That comes from the manager, in fairness to us. We're always looking to try and push on and get that extra little bit of edge in whatever quarter it may be. We have a really, really focused bunch of players who are serial winners. So, you know, when we're focused and we're at our best, we're more than a match for any team in this league.
Mm. And finally, John, obviously you've made some great signings as mentioned there, but I think it was huge for you towards the end of last season to get Patrick Hoban, his new deal sorted out.
Absolutely. Pat is nearly a Dundalk resident at this stage. He's been there that long, and now in two different stages. I don't think Pat ever wanted to leave the football club. I don't think the football club ever really wanted Pat to leave either. So there was a couple of little bumps along the road, but we were thrilled when he signed his new contract. He's settled down now. He can fully focus on football. He had a great season last year. Now, people probably judge Pat maybe at times too much on goals, but the amount of assists that he makes is phenomenal. We kind of spread our goals out last year. The year before, Pat obviously scored 29 goals, but, you know, last year, he obviously didn't score as many as he did the year before, but he was right up there in the assists end of it. So, you know, a fit and a focus Pat Hogan is there's nobody better in this league.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Particularly in Europe, I thought his hold-up play was phenomenal at times, and it probably goes unnoticed an awful lot. I don't like to describe a player as Georgie Kelly as backup, because Georgie Kelly in his own right is an absolutely phenomenal striker. I think most people would agree he'd be starting for most sides in the country. But from a management point of view, how hard is it to juggle when you have two absolutely phenomenal number nines like that?
It's very, very hard, and it's a hard task for Vinny when he's picking a team. And I have to say, Georgie Kelly, again, magnificent player. His goals to game ratio, phenomenal. Any time he's been asked to come in and do a job for the team, he's done it. He'll push Pat all the way this year. Pat knows that himself. Like, you know, Hogan, in fairness to him, has been there, done it. Georgie's still a very, very young player, but I thought he was phenomenal last year, and we really feel Georgie would push Pat again this year. And there's no doubt if Georgie gets in and does well, you know, like he can ask questions of Pat.
Yeah, and a final question, John. Obviously, your Amanda has a very, very long connection with Dundalk Football Club. And over the off-season, we've seen some additions on the offside field of things in the media department. I know Gavin McLaughlin's come in there, and League of Ireland fans listening to this, they'll be very aware of Gavin's work with Dundalk Sport. And I know there was a couple of additions as well today in other positions off the pitch, and they're all local lads that have connections to the club. That must be really building a real relationship, players, fans. There seems to be a good vibe around Dundalk at this moment in time.
There is, Kieran, and that's down to, again, we have to be very thankful to the owners that we have. They've been really, really, they've really backed us. They've backed Vinny. They've a real grow for the club. That's been honest. The new chairman, you know, Bill Hulser, has a real grow for the area and wants Dundalk and wants Dundalk to do well. And We're blessed that we have such owners. I think most of our supporters realise that. I know there are plans on foot maybe to try and push things even further a bit, but it's good to see lads like Gavin McLaughlin, David Minto coming into the club. They're supporters as well as coming into work now, so that they've got a real feel for the club. And that's what Dundalk is. It's a real community club. There's a feel good factor in it. Anybody that passes through Dundalk will realise what it means to be involved with a really, really big domestic football team.
Yeah, John, absolutely brilliant to hear from you. Great that pre-season's gone so well for Dundalk, and we're all looking forward to seeing how you get on again this season. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kieran. Give me best wishes to John. Take care.
Thanks very much.
Download the free Barwon Racing app from the Google Play Store and Apple Market right now and enjoy the latest sporting odds and offers at your fingertips, as well as features such as live in-play betting and much more. BarwonRacing.com, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
So we're not far away from the start of the League of Ireland Premier Division season. Big test for Derry City this weekend. They head to the Champions Dundalk, and I'm delighted to be joined by their manager, Declan Devine, on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Declan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Kieran. Thanks for having me, pal.
So as I said there, Declan, it doesn't come much tougher on the opening weekend than a trip to Oriel Park. How are you feeling ahead of the big game?
We're really looking forward to it, Kieran. You know, it's been a long pre-season. I think this pre-season has probably been the hardest I've ever worked a group of players. And, you know, you don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're coming in every day and you're putting on hard sessions. So, you know, that the game's only a few days away now. I think it's everybody's raring to go. Obviously, it's a huge task for us in terms of going to Oriel Park. But it's a game where I think when you look through the calendar of the league season, I think it's a game that everybody looks forward to. And, you know, thankfully, we don't have to look too far ahead. It's a game that we want to go and challenge ourselves. It's a game where we want to go and give a good account of ourselves. But it's also a game where we're understanding that, you know, Dundalk will be heavily favourites going into the game. But that suits us as well, because that's the type of mentality we want at our football club, where no matter who we play against, we want to put on a performance and show people that we're not bad ourselves.
Yeah, look, I've just been speaking to John Gill there a couple of minutes ago, and we were looking back at some of the fantastic meetings between Derry and Dundalk last year. I suppose it's fair to say both teams know each other quite well, but you've got some new players, and the first one I really want to ask you about is Tim Nielsen, because obviously he's a player a lot of people wouldn't know a lot about, but everyone goes to Google these days and they look up the stats. And he's got a fantastic goal record, and I know he impressed in that pre-season friendly against Finn Harps as well. So what can you tell us about Tim that we don't already know through Google?
Well, I think first and foremost, he's going to get better as the season evolves. You know, he finished playing at the end of October, or start of October, He didn't really have a pre-season as such. He's been in with us for 2 weeks. But, you know, like every manager in Ireland will tell you, and even right across Europe, centre forwards are very hard to come by. You know, there's not many centre forwards about. When we'd done our homework on Tam and we seen that Tam was willing to come to Ireland, he was a no-brainer for us. He makes fantastic runs. He's a great link-up player. He's a player who can score with both feet. He can score with his head. But again, look, for me, it's just about getting him on the door, letting him see what the league's about. You know, there's no added pressure on him. We've got good players here. We hope to bring another centre forward in the next hour or two as well, which will give us more competition in those places. So, you know, Nielsen will be excellent for us. I think he'll be a player that will enhance the league. I think he's using this environment here as well to enhance his own career, which is fine. I like that in a player when a player comes and says that they want to go to a higher level. So I think he's a real positive for us. He's a guy that, you know, as I say, he's lit up our pre-season. He's been very positive in everything he's done. So really, really looking forward to working with him and seeing how he evolves during the course of the season.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there, you're not going to put any pressure on his shoulders, but obviously you've lost Junior and you've lost a Parkhouse as well. We're talking 20 or 30 goals going out of your side there. So I suppose
36 goals it was over the course of last season, you know. So it's a huge loss, but like we try to bring Junior back. Junior went for a financial package that, you know, will enhance the boy's career. Mm. Went to Israel and done great. Parkhouse came here as a relative unknown, signed a 2.5-year extension at a team that's sitting first in the Premier League. You know, he's out on loan at Stevenage at the minute. But as I say, look, from my point of view, I have no problem with that. We want players to use us as much as we can use them to get the best out of these people. And I've no doubt with the signings that we've made up to now, looking at the likes of Walter Figueroa, who'll be fantastic again this year. I thought he was excellent last year.
Yeah.
You know, and as you say, you've got the likes of Tom Nielsen this year as well. And hopefully we can replicate the goals, but more importantly, hopefully we can spread the goals around the team. We had only 7 goals from midfield last year. We had 3 goals from our back four. So I think the onus is in everybody in our squad to chip in this year, Kieran.
And I don't know what it is about Derry. No matter who's the manager, whether it's Declan Devine, it's Kenny Shields, and even before that, Derry always seem to be able to get these, I suppose, what we call exotic signings into the League of Ireland. We've mentioned Tim Nielsen coming in. You've got Danny Lupano as well coming on loan from Hull City, and Moussa Bakayoko from FC Chirac. What can you tell us about those players?
Well, to be fair, Danny Lupano was a young lad that was doing extremely well at under-23 levels at Hull City. We know Grant McCann very well, myself and Paddy McCourt, and you know, we recommended this kid very highly, and we looked at him, and I'm telling you, this boy's going to be a good player as well. Very, very aggressive defender, but also very elegant on the ball. He's a guy that, again, has came on the training, and it looked as if he's been here for a long time. Moussa is relatively unknown to us all, to be honest. He's came on, done very well in training, but he's a guy that will need a bit of time to get up to speed of the League of Ireland, because, you know, League of Ireland's an aggressive league. It's a league where it's played at a high tempo. So, yes, he's going to be a good player for us moving forward. But again, these players are going to have to take time to adjust and get into the swing of things. But, you know, as you say, over the course of recent history at Derry City, there's always been these what you would call flair players. But let's not underestimate the guys that's been here last year too. They're going to have such a huge role to play in the coming months.
Yeah, and we'll go on to speak about some of the players you've signed that I suppose League of Ireland fans will be more familiar with. But what is it about Derry City? Is there a different type of scouting network you have in place that you're able to identify these players? As you said, historically, Derry does seem to be a club that brings in plenty of overseas players.
Well, to be totally honest with you, the best players in Ireland are tied up with Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk way before, you know, they become available. And this is what it is, that the big clubs are tying their players down. And you know, there's only so many players in Ireland that we can go after. There's players that's coming back from England whenever they're not making a grade right to the top level. But thankfully, we have Paddy McCourt, Kevin Derry here, working extremely hard, and myself behind the scenes in terms of our recruitment. And we have to make sure that when they do come to the club, that they're coming for the right reasons. Yeah. Nobody's coming to Derry City to make life-changing money. Let's be honest about it. It's an opportunity for people to showcase their talent. As we said, with Junior, as we said, with Parkhouse, as we said, with Greg Sloggett coming up here last year, relatively unknown. So, you know, it's an opportunity for players, first and foremost, to play in a professional environment at a top club, but it's also an opportunity for players to prolong their career and move to a higher level. You only have to look at the recent history of Derry City, you know, Rory Holden, Curtis, McLean, you know, you can go back as far as McCourt, Salmon, you know, McChrystal, McGinn, Ford, Lafferty. all these players have in the past as well used this football club, which is a terrific football club. They push on to the next level, and that again is something that we always talk to any new player about, that, you know, we have got the history of being able to move players on to another level, and look, that's part and parcel of the business of professional football.
Yeah, and you mentioned Greg Sloggett there. He's a player I would have been familiar with from his first division days with UCD, and he's really caught the eye, I have to say, in pre-season with Dundalk. It's the latest in a long list of players to leave Derry and go to Dundalk. But you've brought in Conor McCormack from Cork City and Conor Clifford from St. Pat's, two really, really experienced players. Do you feel that might help fill the void a little bit of some of the experienced heads you've lost, like Sloggett and McNamee?
Well, I think we've got to try and evolve. You know, this time last year, I don't know if, you know, on the history of the previous season, two seasons ago, would we have been able to get McCormack and Clifford? I don't think so. You know, but thankfully they've seen what we were about last year. Thankfully they've seen the atmosphere and felt it when they came and visited and played against us. And I have to say, the two boys are two absolute dreams. They work great on a daily basis. Conor Clifford's a dream. He's an absolute dream. He's a brilliant person, a brilliant all-round footballer. And McCormick's the same. He's come in and set very high standards and demands off people, demands off staff, demands on professionalism. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. You put Kieran Harkin under that mix. You put Gerardo Bruno, who's a top, top player. Put them and young Jack Malone under that mix. And honestly, the competition this year is something that we didn't really have last year. And it's something that, as a group of staff here, that we're really looking forward to seeing how it goes.
Yeah, so overall, you seem very, very happy with the squad you have in place.
Well, I don't know. I think you're always, as a manager, you're always looking for more all the time. But look, leading into the first game of the season, I'm delighted with the application of players. I'm delighted with the technical ability. I've been delighted with their mentality and their willingness to move up here and put on the hard hours, Kieran. And, you know, the group's evolving. They're getting to really know each other's strengths. And as I say, look, this is going to be a very difficult league this year. It's going to be very, very difficult. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs for a lot of teams. There's no easy games this year. I think everybody's going to be very competitive. But for us, we just want to continue to strive to get better. We've all known each other for the guts of 5 weeks, 6 weeks. We got to strive to get better week in, week out, and try and make sure that our brandy well is full as many times as we possibly can here.
Yeah, it's a fantastic venue. I was there for the League Cup final last year. The atmosphere that night, absolutely phenomenal. You'd love to see more of that this season. But as you mentioned there, you're looking to strive to improve. What is the goal for Derry this year? Obviously, you're going to be in Europe. You'd love to have a good run in Europe, consolidate a place in Europe for next season. But we were speaking to Alan Cawley a little bit later on. He makes it a two-horse race. If you read the columns online, they make it a two-horse race. Can Derry have a say in the title race this season?
Well, I think we got to strive to get better than last year. That's my goal. My goal, we've spoken as a group on what our targets will be. We'll keep them private and what we feel we can achieve. But my goal as a manager is always to do better than the previous season. I don't think anybody sets out to do any worse. If we can improve on last year, if we can improve our home form, one thing we didn't do last year, we didn't beat the top three. So we go to Dundalk with an opportunity this weekend, but we know how hard it's going to be. Last year, we didn't beat any of the top three. This year, we've got to strive to get closer. We've got to strive to get under that top three positions again for European qualification, because that's where a club like Derry need to be. We want to try and get through around Europe. Well, you know, there's another target. And if you're any manager in this league, you're only in it to try and win. Nobody's here to try and lose. We want to win. We want to win something. Realistically, there's two cups to play for. We want to challenge the top end of the league table. Absolutely. But, you know, there's so much to play for the course of this year. Get through around Europe, be competitive in the two cups, challenge for European places in the league, push the top two, see how close we can get. So there's a lot of little individual challenges that we're looking for. But ultimately, the most important thing is the next game. Can we get 3 points? Can we go to Oriel and pick up 3 points? God knows, but we'll definitely have to try.
Declan, sounds like it's going to be a very exciting season yet again for Derry City. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for Friday night.
Kieran, could I just say before I go, good luck to Sean Kavanagh, Mark Tomlin and John Mahan. No club in Ireland wants to lose any of their players in pre-season. And three lads that have picked up nasty injuries in pre-season, just from everybody at Derry, could we wish the three lads all the best in their recovery.
Yeah, and we definitely echo those sentiments. Declan, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again during the season.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks a million.
And before we move on to our charity bet, John, I want to get your prediction. Let's get the top two in the league, please. Title winner. I want to get the top four overall. So who's going to finish in Europe? And I want your bottom two.
Okie doke. Well, I think a lot of pundits have it as a battle for the top two. It's the top two and then the rest. So I'm going to go Dundalk and Rovers.
Okay.
Same as last season.
Yeah.
And I think Dundalk will edge Rovers. I think Rovers could well start better, but I think the same pattern as last season will emerge, and Dundalk will pip them. As for third and fourth, that's a bit more tricky. I like the look of Pats. We tipped them last season and they let us down badly, but I think they've made some great signings there. I think Robbie Benson, if they get Robbie Benson firing and Chris Forrester firing, then they could have a good season. So I'm putting Pats in third. Fourth, I'm going to go with Derry. They'll miss the goals of Junior, but you know they've got some decent signings there, some solid signings, and like you said, a couple of exotic imports. So I fancy Derry for fourth. As for the bottom of the table, I think that match this weekend, Harps against Sligo, I think that those could well be the bottom two this season, and I'm just edging towards Harps against Sligo. So I know I'm not going to be popular in Sligo, but I think they're going to finish bottom, Harps, in the playoffs.
And I'll tell you where else you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be popular with Bulls fans, excluding them from the top four after the great couple of seasons they've had under Keith Long. I'd have to disagree with you there. Obviously, Bulls fans, they'll be delighted because every time we write them off, they get results. So they'll probably win the title now this season. But I've gone Dundalk Rovers for your top two. Again, I'd fancy Dundalk just to pip Rovers. I'm concerned about Rovers' lack of a striker. For me, Derry, I have them in third. As you mentioned, they've done some nice business. And I have Bulls just pipping Pats to that fourth spot.
Yeah, it is going to be close. And it's difficult to know with Bulls, but they've... you know, I think they'll be consolidating. I think they've made some good signings. Whether or not they're going to be enough for top four, I'm not so sure. That's why I've just put Derry ahead of them.
Yeah, I just like the look of that Bulls team. I think Dinny Corcoran is a ready-made goal striker as long as he stays fit. Whereas Pats, there might be a bit more of a question mark there. So I have Bulls just pipping Pats. As for my bottom two, I've gone for Cork to finish ninth and Finn Harps to finish 10th.
Okay, so you're completely at odds with me with regards to Sligo. I think as for Cork, yeah, I think they're going to struggle this season, but I can't see them in the bottom two. But you know, like I said to them, they're not the signings they've made to me are not European standards. They've had a good pre-season, so that might be quite why I've just maybe I would have tipped them bottom two, but I'm edging towards eighth and safety now. But you know, it's all to play for now. Though.
Well, John, I'll tell you my full table. It's Dundalk Rovers, Derry Bows, Pats, Sligo Shells, Waterford Cork, Finn Harps. But from anywhere from 6th to 10th in that table, it's very easy for us to say Finn Harps will finish bottom. They could only be maybe 0.2, 3, 4 points behind Sligo in 6. I really think there's going to be a net over that middle and lower half of the table. I don't think there's going to be an awful lot in it this season.
I think similar to last season, we may see two or three separate tables emerge. That, like last season, we saw the top two sort of break away, didn't we? And then we saw a little group around the bottom, and then a few of the rest around the middle. So it wouldn't surprise me if we have almost like two or three separate tables within the league.
John, we're going to bring our new feature to the show now. We're going to have a weekly charity bet with thanks to bar1racing.com. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if we do make any profits this week, we're going to try and give Cove Ramblers a hand after that situation that's developed at their club in recent days. I'm going to go for bar1racing.com. They're offering double the odds first goal scorer on Bows against Rovers this weekend. So if your first goal scorer scores the first goal and then scores the second any time, you'll get double the odds. So I'm going to go for Dinny Corcoran first goal scorer and try and eke out a bit of value for us this week. What do you fancy yourself?
Well, I'm going to go for a double because I'm going to go for an obvious one, Dundalk to beat Derry, which is my first one. But I think I'll get some value with my second one, Harps to beat Sligo. So, you know, I like a double. So, a double at the bar.
we'll go with John Breyer's double. Oh, that's Dundalk to defeat Derry, Harps to defeat Sligo. Jesus, John, you're not going to be a popular man in Sligo this week, I have to say.
I know. It's not like me to be unpopular with any of these clubs. You know, I'm always in trouble.
Yeah, so once again, thanks to bar1racing.com. Great to have them on board, and hopefully we can raise a few pounds for good causes and charity this season. Folks, that is this week's Premier Division preview show. Obviously, we are still trying to find our feet in terms of recording long distance. So if there was any sketchy bits of audio there, we do apologise. We're still getting bits of equipment here together. And I'm sure you'll give us time over the next couple of weeks to get everything in order. But overall, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Once again, thanks to everyone that tuned in last week. Over 1,000 listeners. Let's see if we can do that again this week. And as always, be sure to subscribe on your favourite podcast outlet. John, thanks for joining me, and speak to you again next week.
Cheers, Kieran.
Thanks, folks.